Good evening, everybody. It is 13 July 2017. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, and we are live with the Committee of Safety show.
Well, hello, good evening, everyone. We've got an interesting presentation tonight, we think. I think it's very powerful. It ties in a couple of different concepts. This is something that when somebody asks you what a Committee of Safety does, you can answer the question. This is something your Committee of Safety can do, whether it's brand new or it's been around a while. We're going to tie in something that I wanted to get into from the very beginning, and that is our premier document, our stick of dynamite, our blower of the cabal down, which is our quote, Raranto. There is nothing that Trump needs to do mass arrest than hand our quote, Raranto, to Jeff Sessions and let him go at it. Because everything against everybody is there. And we're going to toss that into something that Nikki is working on in her home state. And that has to do with the Constitution and getting we the people to ratify it. So with no further ado, Nikki, take her away.
Okay, thank you, John. And tonight I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to read the footnotes in the quo warranto. The writ of quo warranto is mentioned in John's welcoming from 2014. 2014, I believe. I put it on the COS comments section, in the COS comments section. Hopefully the link will work for you because it didn't work for me. So I don't know whether you have to be signed in to get to that link or, you know, how that's going to work. But it was a welcoming video that he did several years ago. Since then, the quo warranto was it was read again in May of 2015, but I'm going to read the original one from November of 2014. Okay, so, and this is going to segue into what we can do and how we can empower the people in our communities to take back the country in the way that we have been told it was supposed to run, and not the way, obviously, anybody who's been in court will see it is not being run. So let me go ahead and read the quo warranto, and you'll have a good idea of what to present to your local people in order to move things forward. And John, when we were talking earlier, he came up with some really good ideas how this is workable. Okay, so the writ of quo warranto, and I'm not going to read any of the footnotes, I'm saying that again. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside supreme law finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. Well, obviously it has, hasn't it? No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. And that's Downs versus Bidwell, 182 U.S. 244 from 1901. And that is around the time that things started to really change in this country. Bar control federal and state court judges by their presumed authority contrary to their oaths and duty fraudulently claim. Can someone mute out, please? Contrary to their oath and duty fraudulently claim the Constitution for the United States and its capstone Bill of Rights abolished by traitorous bar-controlled legislators, acts of conspiracy, treason, and war against the United States. We the people decree by quo warranto all said unconstitutional legislation null and void, and declare all such subversives, enemies of the people of the United States of America, and order all United States marshals, bailiffs, county sheriffs, and deputies to arrest all such federal and state judges for conspiracy, treason, and breach of peace when witnessing the violation of people's unalienable rights from the bench in violation of Article 3, Section 3, for levying war against the people, adhering to the enemy, giving aid and comfort. Could somebody mute their phone? It sounds like Taps is playing. 18 U.S. Code, USC, 2385. Whoever organizes or helps or attempts to organize any society, group, or assembly of persons who teach, advocate, or encourage the overthrow or destruction of any such government by force or violence, or becomes or is a member of or affiliates with any such society, group, or assembly of persons, and in parentheses or in brackets, bar is in there, knowing the purposes thereof, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Comes now the constituted unified common law grand juries of the 50 United States of America. This evil day, I didn't see that before, this evil day, we command all county, state, federal, and U.S. Supreme Court judges and clerks to perform their duty, guaranteeing to every state in this union a republican form of government, and protect each of them against invasion, or vacate your office now. I'm going to interject here, okay, because the republican form of government is written into the Constitution in Article 4 and Article 4, Section 4, I believe. Article 4, Section 3, however, says that new states may be erected within the United States or in any state, okay, with the consent of the legislatures or with Congress, okay, and Congress. So, in other words, the reconstructed political bands can, you know, even though it says no new state, they can with the consent of the Democrats and the Republicans. So, just realize that there are certain plays and words within that Constitution that we, the people, really need to take a look at and think critically about the history, how we got here, and what we can do about it, which we are definitely going to go into after this quo warranto is read, and I will try to keep it to the quo warranto and not my thoughts. Okay, so whereas, and this is paragraph 5 of this, whereas we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, did ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America, not just the United States, but the United States of America, that all judges and members of the government, both state and federal, are lawfully bound to obey. Decree that we, the people, have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of persons themselves entrusted to dispense justice. The grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. Thus, the people have the unbridled right by law and in law to impanel their own grand juries and present true bills of information, indictment, and presentments to the court, to a court of record, which is then required to commence a criminal proceeding. Our founding fathers, with foresight, grafted into the common law Fifth Amendment a buffer the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, go rogue, act in bad behavior, and criminally violate the law. The prime directive ordained by the American people proposed their government to 1. Form a more perfect union, 2, establish justice. 3, ensure domestic tranquility. 4, provide for the common defense. Or did I say that was 4, provide for the common defense. 5, promote the general welfare. And 6, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. The subsequent violent felony acts of war by our servants against the aforesaid Prime Directive 1 debilitates the union of the American people, establishes injustice, undermines domestic tranquility, renders the people vulnerable to foreign and domestic enemies, destabilizes the general welfare, and annihilates the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Common sense can only conclude there are forces within our servant government conspiring war and subterfuge against the American people by denying the very Republican form of government that they took an oath to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Thereby, it is the duty of all oath takers to take a stand now, obey and defend the Constitution, and assist the people in arresting and terminating the following unconstitutional acts by simply obeying the law of the land and acknowledging the unalienable right of the people to self-govern. Therefore, judges everywhere are commanded again to obey the law of the land and sign the attached mandamus. The excuse, "We are only following orders," did not stand in Nuremberg, and it most certainly will not stand here. To prove our conclusion, let's let facts be submitted to a candid world. And I'm going to go through the list here. Our servants have refused assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary. I'm sorry about that. The most necessary. Where am I? The most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Our servants have trodden upon the rights of the people. Our servants, and you know, even though the word used is servants, remember, these people are our employees. We're the ones who pay them. We need to have oversight over our employees, especially since silver was taken out of the coin in 1965, and we are their creditors even with that. So, and I'm going to go into further with that when I'm done reading the quo warranto. Our servants have passed legislation destructive to the Constitution, forbidden by the same. Right there. They're accepting a foreign coin, a coin that is foreign to Article 1, Section 10 of this Constitution. Our servants have exposed we the people to all dangers of invasion from without and subversion from within. Our servants have obstructed the laws for illegal aliens who are flooding our nation with foreign insurgents, some hostile, destroying our economy and putting at risk the security of our states. Our servants, hang on just a second here. Let me get this just a tad bit bigger. Our servants have obstructed the laws for Our servants have obstructed the administration of justice by refusing acquiescence to laws established for judiciary power. Our servants have transformed judges into chancellors dependent upon the will of the Bar Guild alone, a society of mercenary economic corporate hitmen esquires, resolute on destroying common law, the foundation of America. Our servants have erected a multitude of fourth branch administrative agencies unaccountable to the Constitution and sent hither swarms of corporate administrative disobedient to the Constitution, revenue and code enforcement officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Our servants have kept among us in times of peace standing armies and excessively militarized local police forces without the consent of the people. Our servants have joined with foreign bankers to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. And, you know, these people are beholden to who pays them. They're not getting paid in constitutional coin. And unacknowledged by our laws, giving assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Our servants are secretly accommodating large bodies of armed foreign troops amongst us. Our servants have imposed a multiple of property robbing taxes, direct taxes, fees, and fines on us without consent. All of that is bonded by, we are bonded to it as creditors, by the way. Our servants have deprived us of benefits of honest trial by jury. Our servants have deprived us of the benefits of unrigged grand juries. Our servants have transported us into chancery courts to be tried for pretended offenses. Our servants have enlarged his boundaries under the guise of the District of Columbia, 10-mile square federal city, so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing absolute rule into these states. Our servants have arrogantly disregarded our Bill of Rights, abolishing our most valuable laws, altering fundamentally the people's form of government without consent. And well, I'll get into that. Okay, our servants have declared power to legislate through executive order without consent. Our servants have waged war against us. Our servants have plundered our manufacturing base, ravaged our small businesses, and destroyed the lives of our people. Our servants have excited domestic insurrections among us. Asparatory, by the way. Our servants have engaged in human trafficking of our children and elderly through courts. That's maintenance, by the way. Our servants have engaged in racketeering and extortion through our courts. That's champerty. Our servants have held mock trials in courts not of record and thereby unlawfully incarcerating and financially fleecing millions of people, denying due process, all without full disclosure, by the way. Our servants have impaneled bogus puppet grand and petite juries in order to perform bar will and profiteering. That's champerty and maintenance, by the way. Our servants have stolen our homes in rem and fraud, assisting bankers in double dipping. Look at your school taxes, federal, state, and local, right? Our servants have kidnapped our children and destroyed our family in the family courts. Our servants have robbed our parents, turned their twilight years into nightmares, and destroyed our family in probate court. Undue influences by these people. Our servants have turned our common law courts into chancery courts of injustice. Our servants have put people in debtor's prison. Our servants have transformed our unalienable rights into crimes, violating every stage of our Bill of Prohibitions, serving the bar and not the people. Unalienable rights into crimes. Listen to that in view of the 13th Amendment. There shall be no involuntary servitude except as duly convicted of a crime within the United States or any place subject to its jurisdiction. Okay? Doesn't say anything about voluntary servitude, but second section of that says that Congress, the reconstructed political bands, now the Democrats and the Republicans, have the power to enforce what? voluntary servitude by appropriate legislation with which, if you do not comply, you're going to be duly convicted of a crime. That's not in here, by the way. Okay. Against Amendment 1, our servants have prohibited the free exercise of Judeo-Christian religion. Our servants have denied free speech. Our servants have commandeered the press. Our servants have denied our right to petition the government for redress of grievance. Against, and Bob Schultz, petitioned the government for a redress of grievance, and they say, you can petition us, but we don't have to answer you. Against Amendment 2, our servants have dismantled the militia and closed our armories. Our servants have denied the right of the people to keep and bear arms. I remind you that, since they went all volunteer under the Social Security number, and they have been paid for a couple of years even before they went all volunteer with a form of currency that is not mandated in Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, a foreign-paid military under the Social Security number, it's a no-brainer that they are mercenaries for the corporate U.S. that is obligated to protect and defend their interest on foreign soil. That is pure mercenary language there. Against Amendment 4, our servants have violated our privacy using bogus warrants, spying on people, eavesdropping on our conversation, and unlawfully maintaining files on the people to be used during a planned unlawful martial law to target dissenters and enslave the people. Against Amendment 5, our servants have accused people in courts of not of law incarcerating millions with corrupt grand juries and forcing people to witness against themselves. Our servants have deprived millions of life, liberty, and property without due process of law. Our servants have seized property under rem and caprice. Well, what do you do with people who have been compliant and volunteered into servitude under the 13th Amendment? Against Amendment 6, our servants have denied millions of people trials by an impartial jury. Our servants have denied assistance of counsel unless they were bar co-conspirators of the court to stealthily deprive people of their unalienable rights. Against Amendment 7, our servants have denied suits at common law. Our servants have denied trial by jury. Our servants have denied the people's heritage, common law. Against Amendment 8, our servants have imposed excessive bails, fines, cruel and unusual punishments for behaviors that are not crimes. Against Amendment 9, our servants have denied scores of other unalienable rights retained by the people. Against Amendment 10, our servants have corrupted government at every level and have turned sovereignty of the people into a crime. At every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. Servants whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the stewards of a free people. We therefore command you to repent and obey the law of the land or face the wrath of we the people. War against the Constitution, people, by Congress. Secret construction of statutory prison. This is the next section. I'm not going to ask if there's any questions yet. I'll go through the whole thing. The following is by no means an exhaustive list of usurpations by Congress and acts of treason against we the people of the United States of America. Not the United States, but the United States of America. Now remember, that preamble reads, we the people of the United States, and then as it goes on and mentions everything, the last sentence there, it it does identify the people of the United States of America. And our decree of 1789, Constitution for the U.S. United States of America, to list all would take volumes, but the foregoing is an accurate representation of a government that has become destructive. 1. Suspension of habeas corpus during the Reconstruction Acts of 1871. That was in violation of Article 1, Section 9, Paragraph 2. Reconstituted, number 2, reconstituted the United States as a corporate-controlled democracy. That's the Reconstruction Act of 1871, again, in violation of Article 4, Section 4. Creation of a Federal Reserve, which provides for foreign bankers to unlawfully control the United States monetary system. That's the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, and eventually unlawfully disbanded the United States Treasury in violation of Article 1, Section 8. Granted the president broad, sweeping investigative and prosecutorial, I don't know if I said that word right, powers against anyone, including the American people, found by the president to be an enemy, thereby giving the president essentially dictatorial powers. That's the Trading with the Enemy Act, 1917. That was in violation of Article 6, Section 4. Disbandment of the United States Treasury, 1920, in violation of Article 1, Section 8. Registration requirements of the people in order to use the people as chattel or collateral for the federal notes. That's the Townsend Act of 1925, in violation of Article 3, Section 3. War against the people of the United States, again, the Trading with the Enemy Act, as amended in 1933, and Allen Registration Act of 1940, both in violation of Article 3, Section 3. Numerical identification system to track and control the people's financial business and to apply unlawful direct tax. That's the Social Security Act of 1935, in violation of Article 1, Section 9. Common law was abrogated, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, 1938, in violation of Article 3, Section 2, Article 6, Sections 7, or Amendment 7 and Amendment, let me read that again, in violation of Article 3, Section 2, Article 6, Amendment 7, and Amendment 5. Immunity to judges for their crimes, International Organizations Immunity Act, 1945, in violation of Article 2, Section 4. Corrupted our grand juries through government controls, 1946, in violation of Amendment 5. Government spying on the people empowers the government to deploy unwarranted dragnets for massive amounts of information on private citizens, Patriot Act, 2001, in violation of Amendment 4. Authorization for government to indefinitely detain American citizens, nationals, without probable cause, without warrant, without charges, and without due process in law. National Defense Authorization Act, 2014, in violation of Amendment 5. Socialism, communism, indoctrination taught in our schools, Common Core, in violation of the will of the people and Article 4, Section 4. 100% control of people's movements, food, water, energy, and control over the minds of our children. Agenda 21, United Nations passed in 1992 and supported by then President George Bush. In violation of the Constitution for the United States of America, Bill of Rights, Magna Carta, and the Holy Bible. We the people herein decree all unconstitutional legislation null and void. War against the people by administrations, preparation for war by executive legislation. Necessity is the plea, and this is from William Pitt. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. Most executive orders end with the phrase, "These executive orders don't define what specifically constitutes a national emergency." The following executive orders are just a few of the thousands of executive orders without authority that are preparing to take full control over the lives of every man, woman, and child in America under the guise of necessity. These provide for martial law, executive order 100, aka the Lieber Code, 1863, formation of the FBI, executive order 1908. In 1908, that's going to be the year that I say there. Presidential closing of all the banks in the country, executive order in 1933. Presidential confiscation of gold, executive order 1933. Presidential remove property rights, executive order 1933, federal seizure of all communications, media, and in the U.S. That's executive order 10995, federal seizure of all electric power, fuels, and minerals, both public and private, executive order 10997. Federal seizure of all food supplies and resources, both public and private, and all farms and equipment, including what people are storing for emergencies in their home. That's Executive Order 10998. Federal seizure of all means of transportation, including cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and total control over highways, seaports, and waterways. That's 10999. Federal seizure of American people for workforces under federal supervision, including the splitting up of families if the government so desires. This happened before in Europe during the Nazi regime, by the way. That's executive order 11000. Federal seizure of all health, education, and welfare facilities, both public and private. That's 11001. The powers of the Postmaster General to register every single person in the U.S. That's 11002. Federal seizure of all airports and aircrafts. 11003. Federal seizure of all housing and finances and authorities to establish forced relocation, authority to designate areas to be abandoned as unsafe, establish new locations for populations, relocate communities, build new housing with public funds. 11004. Federal seizure of all railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities, both public and private. 11005. FEMA's complete authorization to put above said orders into effect in times of increased international tension, of economic or financial crisis, in case of any declared national emergency. 11051. We the people herein decree all executive orders null and void. Okay, now kind of mark that in your mind. War against the people by the judiciary. RICO, 18 U.S.C., 1962. Prohibited activities, C, it shall be unlawful for any person employed by or associated with any enterprise engaged in or the activities of which affect interstate or foreign commerce to conduct or participate directly or indirectly in the conduct of such enterprises affair through a pattern of racketeering activities or collection of unlawful debt. Now, how can you collect the debt from a creditor? The judiciary denies constitutionally constrained courts of law and operates under the name of equity when in fact people are hijacked unawares into chancery courts to settle unlawful corporate monetary issues ruled by the chancellors, aka the judges, that have been banned in the United States since 1789. Look up the Judiciary Act. The people ordained law and equity, both of which must adhere to the law of the land, and the law of the land is common law. Article 6. And the Seventh Amendment provides for suits at common law. The Fifth Amendment provides for all criminal charges to be by indictment or presentment by a common law grand jury. See United States versus Williams. And you'll notice that traffic court is that's criminal, which really surprised me, but it's true. We, the people herein, decree chancery courts null and void. Take judicial cognizance of the only constitutional powers, the only lawful powers we the people gave to our legislators are found in Article 1, Section 8, whereas Congress shall have the power to tax, borrow money, regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states, establish a uniform rule of naturalization, uniform bankruptcy laws, coin money and fix the standards of weights and measures, provide for the punishment of counterfeiting, and by the way, coin money with what? What kind of metal? Think about that. Provide for the punishment of counterfeiting, establish post roads or post offices. Do we have the Congress establishing the post offices anymore? I think that changed, the administration changed in 1971, didn't it? Post roads, promote sciences and useful arts, constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, declare war, grant letters of marque. Marque is a license to a private citizen to seize property of another nation, and reprisal. So grant letters of marque and reprisal, make rules concerning captures on land and water, raise and support armies, and fund no longer term than 2 years, provide and maintain a navy, make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces, provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions, provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, the seat of government of the United States, and like authority over forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. Now, where it says exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, that 10 square miles, the seat of government, it does have in the full text, and this is just the list, but in the full text it says by secession and acceptance, that is also accepted. That's contract law. Check that little box to say you're a U.S. citizen under the 13th Amendment. Who does that make you under? Okay, think about it. President was given no powers to legislate by executive order. The only lawful powers we, the people, gave to the president are found in Article 2, Section 2, whereas the president shall have the power to be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into actual service of the United States. Now, how long are they to be paid or to be in service? 2 years, right? Require the opinion in writing of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject relating to the duties of their respective offices, and he shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. By and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provide two-thirds of the senators provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. He has the power to nominate and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and councils, judges of the Supreme Court, and all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for and which shall be established by law. He has the power to fill all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate, shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. The president has the power to, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in case of disagreement between them, shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed and shall commission all officers of the United States. The only lawful jurisdiction given to the courts are under law and equity, and both jurisdictions are governed by Article 6, which decrees, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. The only lawful powers we the people gave to the judiciary are found in Article 3, Sections 1 and 2, whereas the court powers are as follows. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the supreme and the inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, treaties made or which shall be made under their authority. That's the key there, especially with reconstructed political bands. All cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and councils, all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. And I remind you that the Maritime Administration started to come under the Department of Transportation in, I believe it was 1981. or 82. You can check that out. Controversies to which the United States shall be party. Controversies between two or more states. Between a state and citizen of another state. Between citizens of different states. Between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states. And between a state or the citizen thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects, in all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and councils, and those in which a state shall be party. The Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction in all other cases before mentioned. The Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction both as to law and fact. Who composes the Supreme Court? The trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where said crime shall have been committed. But when not committed within any state, the trial shall be in such a place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. Take judicial cognizance of Bill of Prohibitions. The Constitution includes the Bill of Rights, which is actually a Bill of Prohibitions, and therefore places constraints upon government's rulemaking. These restrictions Congress shall make. Okay, no law respecting a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, no law abridging the freedom of speech, no law abridging the press, no law abridging the assembly of the people, no law abridging petitions for redress of grievance, no law abridging a regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, no law abridging the people to keep and bear arms, no law abridging people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Warrants shall issue only upon probable cause, supported by oath, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. No person shall be held to answer for capital or otherwise infamous crimes unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. No person shall be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life and limb. No person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. And that means your signature, your eye scan, your DNA, by the way. No person shall be deprived of liberty, life, liberty, or property without due process of law. No private property shall be taken for public use without just compensation. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Assistance of counsel shall not be denied. Take note, and in parentheses, John has here, take note, the American Bar was founded in New York, August 21st, 1878, almost 100 years later. That's after the Constitution, okay? In common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved. No fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. And I'm going to show you, if I have the time, where that went awry. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. The people have more unalienable rights. Their behavior shall not be legislated. Powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states or to the people. We're going to talk about the people and the meaning of that in regard to the 10th Amendment. Government servants have been entrusted with the people's business, and some have abused their power to enslave or sell the American people as cattle. 13th Amendment gave them that authority, didn't it? The bar has beguiled you with power, compartmentalized many. Others have turned a blind eye for filthy lucre, the worship of mammon, right? And some are just useful idiots. Therefore, it is conclusive, and that's in here, by the way, that's not my words. Therefore, it is conclusive that there are 21 powers given to our legislators, 9 powers given to the president, 21 plus prohibitions, and all courts are to act only under common law. Among these powers, nowhere can be found authority from the people to perform any of the aforementioned unconstitutional acts or to create statutes controlling the behavior of the people, private corporations, administrative acts and rules, aka corporate charters, are herein decreed null and void. All that said, though, do we truly have the power to do this at this particular point in time? This is interesting. Judges rest upon fraudulent appellate court rulings and statutes that are repugnant to the Constitution while they convince themselves that by following such statutes, they are immune from penalties should the people become aware of their fraud. Take notice, we are aware of the fraud, and your feeble response is misguided and subject to serious legal consequences should you choose to remain silent and fail to act. Because rights are unalienable or unalienable, legislators cannot legislate, abolish them away, no matter what the bar has instructed you. Rights come from God and not man. Therefore, not even the people can give them up for themselves or others, unless by coercion and, you know, involuntary servitude, right? Once we the people ordain common law, the law of the land, no man can abrogate it. To claim to do so is an act of war against the people and their God. Unconstitutional acts are not law, and no one is bound to obey them. Judges are expected to maintain a high standard of judicial performance, and they really have for what they believe they have, right? And when they violate the Constitution, they cease to represent the government, become liable for damages, and lose any immunity they may think they have. State judges, as well as federal, have the responsibility to respect and protect persons from violations of federal constitutional rights. Does your rights come from the Constitution, or does it come from somewhere else, and prohibitions are instituted by the Constitution? Decency, security, and liberty alike demand that government officials are subjected to the same rules of conduct that are commanded to the commands to the citizen. Judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. No judicial process whatsoever can have any lawful authority outside the limits of the jurisdiction of the court or judges by whom it is issued, and an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. Therefore, all servants acting in concert under color of law, statute, regulation, and custom that are willfully or ignorantly depriving the people of our unalienable rights and immunities secured and protected by the Constitution for the United States of America are hereby ordered to stand down, correct this matter by signing the attached mandamus, and by such actions we will accept that you are attempting to take responsibility for past abuses and making a good faith effort to amend bad behaviors beginning now, and we the people will move forward without looking behind. Let us remind you that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right and duty of the people to alter it. Wherefore, we the people, by our own prerogative under seal command, the accounting of your stewardship by obeying and answering the following under penalty of perjury. Answers through counsel are insulting, placing salt upon open wounds, and will be determined as non-answered answers, and thereby have been predetermined by the people to be non-compliant, and will result in the issuance of a true bill presentment upon all conspirators, clerks, lawyers, and judiciary alike. Answers by the sending of repugnant forms or of returning the returning of quo warranto have also been predetermined by the people to be non-compliance, and will result in the issuance of a true bill presentment upon both clerk and conspiring judiciary. All federal judges are commanded to comply and obey the common law as defined under Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the Common Law, United States Constitution, and its Common Law Capstone, Bill of Prohibitions, Bill of Rights. You have a duty to speak and act. Therefore, silence can only be interpreted as complicity with the conspiracy to overthrow the people's government of the United States of America. Failure to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution for the United States, Article 2, Section 1, is a war against the people. Failure to secure the blessings of liberty, preamble, is to war against the people. Failure to repel and protect each state against invasions from within to destroy the people's republican form of government, Article 4, Section 4, and Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15, is to war against the people. Every day you resist the will of the people, U.S. Constitution places liberty in greater jeopardy, and in so doing, we the people will hold you responsible and will require compliance to the utmost weight of the highest law, for the domestic enemy of our republic cannot endure without your support, because you alone are holding in the balance peace or war. All judges are hereby ordered to order all clerks to obey the law by filing and processing all true bills from common law grand juries as required by law under 18 U.S.C. 2076 and 2071. All judges are ordered to command all state and federal judges to obey the law of the land as commanded, United States Constitution, Article 6, Paragraph 2. All judges are ordered to sign and mail to the address above, and it's not on this particular form, but it is on the 2015 one, the attached mandamus, which commands all servants in all courts to cease from obstruction and interference of the people's business and access to their courts under 18 U.S.C. 1512b. All judges are to confirm with the court clerks that this quo warranto has been filed as required by 18 U.S.C. 2076 and 2071, and a timestamp copy has been mailed to the address above. All judges are to produce a certified copy of your constitutional oath of office as required by Article 6, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution and 5 U.S.C. 3331. All judges are to produce affidavits declaring that you did not pay for or otherwise make a promise consideration or promise consideration to secure your office as per 5 U.S.C. 3332. All judges are to produce their personal surety bond and documentation that establishes your complete line of chain of command delegated authority, including all intermediaries, beginning with the President of the United States or the governor of the state you claim authority from. These documents should all be filed as public records pursuant to 5 U.S.C. 2906 for requirements concerning filing oaths. In the event that you do not have a personal surety bond, you may provide a copy of your financial statement, which you are required to file annually. Your financial statement will be construed as a private treaty surety bond in the event that you exceed lawful authority. You are commanded under seal to obey item 1 and 2 and provide within 7 calendar days from receipt of this demand by mail, items 3 through 8, to the address above, or resign your office immediately. Failure to comply with all the demands of this writ of quo warranto will be an admission of your intentional and willful engagement in RICO and high treason against the people, and will be subject to presentments or indictments for immediate removal from office and criminal prosecution for the committing of illicit and ongoing crimes in a wheel and chain of conspiracy. Signed and so ordered by the people under seal November 10, 2014. Grand Jury Foreman. Any questions? Boy, that took a whole hour to read. Is Gerard on the phone or John?
I just love that document. It's all there. Everything is there. It's all there. Period. End of story. Everything's covered.
Exactly. And that was plan one, okay? And plan A. I'm going to come up. I want to know, did anybody that it was sent to comply? Because I don't recall a compliance.
I've got no compliance. I sent it to chief judges in my case. I mentioned to you on the phone that I believe that Gary Will and I are the first ones in the nation to have entered in the public record at Lake County, Illinois, but nobody's responded, at least in my own personal efforts.
Yeah. And let's go on with, plan B. Shall I go on with that, or shall we leave it till next week?
Yep, keep going.
Okay, so with the fact that the historical documents reveal, and let me get my stuff up here. Okay, we're going to learn from our successes and our failures. And, so we learn that they do not respond. Okay, so identify other problems that might be pertinent to this and why they did not respond. Problem number one, of the 9 states which established the U.S. Constitution, none of those 9 had submitted their constitutions to the people. Are you aware of that? Is anybody on the call aware of it? Are the people unmuted? Well, let me go on anyway. I'll just go ahead and read through it. And if you'd like, to kind of fancy it up and put it on the site, you can. Okay, so the problem number one is that none of the 9 states which established the U.S. Constitution had submitted their constitutions to the people. And this can be verified on the Yale Avalon Project. And you would think that if anybody tried to cover it up, it would be Yale, but they didn't. And they were not submitted to the people for ratification. They were proclaimed. They were, published. They were, it was just the people that were sent over here by the crown, to do business, that were part of the good old boy clique, and they were already pretty much established here, so they just went ahead and said, hey, we're going to pull away because we're getting taxed without representation, so we'll just pull away and, you know, we'll create our own feudal system over here eventually, okay? But we're going to have to dupe the people. All right, so what they did is they went ahead and they drafted their constitutions within their own councils or assemblies, but they never submitted to the people. So therefore, the nine states that established the United States Constitution or for these United States of America in 1787, per Article 7, they never sent it to the people for ratification. They never submitted to the people for ratification. The states that were involved never submitted to the people for ratification. So where it says, we the people of the United States was there like a trust for them. You know, we the people of the United States. But they do say that the last sentence in that preamble, it does say United States of America. So what I think is best to focus on is the United States of America, because that apparently is not the corporate. That is pretty much their what Robert had sent out some stuff about their they're having to bicker back and forth. What do they call that? Compromises, okay? The great compromises. So that was probably one of the compromises that was being done back then. We're dealing with a people issue, remember, at that time as well. So problem number two is that, and I just happened to, you know, come from a family where they saved everything. And in the attic I found the 1932-1933 Current Events magazine. So they used to go out to the school children. So the way that they sold the New Deal, remember, the New Deal came in by Amendment 20, and it came in on a day different than any previous administration. And the way it was sold to the people, apparently, is that magic slip of paper, in other words, when you vote, okay, that you become a shareholder or a stockholder in a corporation, the greatest corporation on earth, the United States of America. Okay? So problem number two is that by our vote and our ancestors' vote, we have voted in these reconstructed political bands that have performed fiduciary abuses, inclusive of statutory compliance to adhesive and unconscionable contracts. And that goes along with, you know, the 13th Amendment and voluntary servitude, with which if you do not comply, you're going to be duly convicted of a crime. So there's the two big problems, major problems, but they're fixable, people. They're fixable because if the quo warranto wasn't answered, we have no standing under the first 10 amendments because we were never part of that Constitution. It was never submitted to the people for ratification. Therefore, there is a solution to these faults because historical evidence supports the fact that in 1787, that the 1787 United States Constitution, and we're talking about Yale, we're talking about Yale University, okay? Because historical evidence supports the fact that the 1787 United States Constitution was not submitted to the people who were enfranchised to vote for its ratification, perhaps now it's time for us, the people, to ratify that 1787 Constitution for the United States of America and begin anew. And because we are the shareholders, they told us this is why, this is how they sold it to us. And this is obviously, since we're the creditors now, since they took silver out of the coin, because we are the shareholders, the owners of one or more shares of stock in a corporation, when they even say they're a corporation. U.S. Or 28 U.S.C. 300215 says that the United States is a corporation. That's the 10 square miles. So we have one or more shares of stock in a corporation commonly called the stockholder. That's what we're called, the owners of a corporation. We're the stockholders. The benefits of being a shareholder include receiving dividends. Have we been receiving the dividends that we should? Mm-mm. So the benefit of being a shareholder include receiving dividends for each share as determined by the board of directors. The right to vote, except for certain preferred shares, for members of the board of directors, we have that right, and we have the right to bring a derivative action, in other words, a lawsuit, if the corporation is poorly managed, and to participate in the division of value of assets upon dissolution and winding up of that corporation, if there is any value. A shareholder should have his or her name registered, which we do, they did that, with the corporation, but may hold a stock certificate which has been signed over to him or her. They have done just the opposite with us since we became their creditors. They have not told us this little tidbit of information, even though we're voting them in by proxy, basically. Before registration, the new shareholder may not be able to cast votes represented by the shares. So already they're telling us, yeah, you're kids, but they're not old enough to vote yet. All right? But they're there. Therefore, and because in Congress on July 4, 1776, it was penned that when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to, number one, dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and number two, to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind has already been sent out. The clauses that impel us to the separation was wonderfully done in that quo warranto. And Article 1, Section 2, here in Pennsylvania, and your constitutions probably say the same thing to a certain extent. Look at it. Article 1, Section 2 here in Pennsylvania authorizes to the people inherent political power. All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such a manner as they may think proper. Here's a proper way of looking at it. Since there appears to be evidence sufficient to show, and I love John's words, sufficient to show that in 1787 Constitution for the United States of America was never submitted to the people who were enfranchised to vote for its ratification, it is therefore incumbent upon the people to ratify the 1787 Constitution for the United States of America and begin anew with the nullification of Amendments 11 through 27. Here's the action plan should you choose to follow it. Put two ballot measures, and I'm going to propose the text to you. Get them on your ballot for November. Two ballot measures. One, shall the 1787 Constitution for the United States of America be ratified? A yes vote supports the ratification of the 1787 Constitution for the United States of America. A no vote opposes the ratification. Let me finish. I only have... Say again?
I need to clarify something that you were talking about.
Well, let me finish the number two.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. Okay, number two, shall amendments to the 1787 Constitution for the United States of America, which of course, by them, those people and their for their posterity, those are the ones that have the first 10 amendments on their side at this present time, not us, because we never ratified that Constitution. Shall amendments to the 1787 Constitution for the United States of America, 11 to 27, 1 to 10 is wonderful. We want those. A yes vote supports the nullification of Amendments 11 through 27. A no vote opposes it. Nullification is the theory of nullification is based on the view that the states formed the union by an agreement or compact among the states, and that as creators of the federal government, the states have the final authority to determine the limits or the powers of that government. Under this, the compact theory, the states and not the federal courts are the ultimate interpreters of the extent of the federal government's power. Under this theory, the states, therefore, may reject or nullify federal laws that the states believe are beyond the federal government's constitutional powers. The related idea of interposition is a theory that a state has a right and a duty to interpose itself. Now, we are in the states, so we can interpose ourselves when the federal government enacts laws that the state believes to be unconstitutional. But without being party to that ratification, we do not have a say in this at this particular point in time. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison set forth the theory of nullification and interposition in the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798. I yield. Robert, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Well, you're talking about Constitution of 1787, and I want everybody to realize there is and never was a 1787 Constitution. They may have started writing the 1791 Constitution in 1787, but there never was a 1787 Constitution. And I want everybody to know that. So don't be confused.
I leave it to them. Right, and I leave it to them to do the research and come back and speak to it.
We've already done a ton of research on it, and we've already answered that question through doing a lot of research, and there was no 1787 Constitution.
I'll let you go with that. It's up to the people to do their research.
Okay. Well, we can, John,
Gerard and Jan and I and several others went over and over and over, looked everywhere for the information on it.
So
okay,
what you're saying
Either way that this is, and if we stand corrected, that's good information to have. But the concept here behind this presentation is to ratify the Constitution.
Exactly.
And it is to use the Committee of Safety to do so at your county level. So we'll have to do some additional work. Robert's got some good information on exactly how we should word the ratification. That's very good to bring up because we want to be spot on all of this. But the concept here is that everything that we presented tonight is to show potential people that you want for your Committee of Safety what's going on, what our rights are, where it went wrong, and what the Committee of Safety can do about it. And tonight's idea is to propose a ratification of the Constitution in your county by the Committee of Safety. Now you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, kiddies, any questions? Because I love that document, but it's a whole snoot full of stuff.
Yes, it is.
or have a question.
Go ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
What you were reading early on that you said you submitted to judges, can any of us get that printed out and submit it to judges?
That's the very first document on the National Liberty Alliance website. That's document number one. Mm-hmm. That's how we began. That was submitted to all 94 district courts. It was submitted to the entire Congress. It was submitted to the entire Supreme Court of the United States. It was submitted to the White House. It was submitted to all the governors. It was submitted to all the sheriffs. And it was submitted to all the state legislatures. Twice, I believe, Robert. Isn't that correct? We did it twice?
Yes. Yes.
Okie dokie.
Was it submitted to every court, though?
It was submitted to all 94 district courts. It is up to us, we the people, committees of safety in your county, to do so. And that's what I did. I submitted it to the chief judge of the Lake County Circuit Court of Illinois. I submitted it to several judges, the district attorney, and the sheriff in my county. That's our job.
Okay,
yeah,
it
went to every court in the country.
Every court in the country?
Okay,
a town or a city court.
Well, that's what I mean. I'd like to make up a bunch of them and submit it to two states.
It's all in PDFs on our website.
By all means, if you wish to do that, I would not say no. I mean, that is your right.
We've been slamming their faces 2 years ago, honey. You go right ahead and pick up where we left off. Whack them again. That's what I say. Whack them again.
Where is that located?
I forget where exactly. I believe it's under the news tab. It's in there. I think. I don't know. Where's Gary Will when you need him? He knows where all that crap is.
And what is it called?
The Quo Warranto.
Okay.
That is a cornerstone document. Everything you're about is in the document. Go ahead, Nikki.
Yeah, go under grand jury tab. Go under the grand jury tab and then go to dockets. And down below, you'll see those information and writs. And you'll see 1505 in the right-hand column.
Right.
Are you by your computer now?
No, but I've been on the website, so I kind of see it.
Oh, okay.
It.
Oh, okie doke. Okay, it's right next to the NLA store, grand jury, and then slide down. It's 1, 2, 3. It's the third one down. It says docket, and then slide down the page for informations and writs.
Okay.
Now, that's not the one that I read off of tonight. I read off of the original one that was like a year before. Or 6 months before, something like that.
Okay.
Don't confuse anybody.
Okay.
The body of the text is identical.
Yes.
Okay. So I can just print it off and mail it to every judge. Do you mail it to the judge or the courthouses?
I mail it to somebody. I always mail it to somebody. And I got the signature from the chief judge and the district attorney and the sheriff return receipt requested that they got it.
Okay.
I always send a document to somebody, not something.
Cool. Thank you. I yield.
Good question. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Next. Well, okay then. So you understand what we did tonight. That document is our cornerstone. It's our foundation. Everybody should be incredibly familiar with that. This is another way that you can interest people in your committee of safety. This is another way that you can get people engaged and thinking about redress for some of their grievances. And we've gone through lists of that before, so I'm not going to go over that. And then here is another action that I think is quite exciting, as Nikki extremely well presented, that we should ratify the Constitution. And I suggest and I submit that because our committees of safety are focused on the county level, that we do that. And I think it's much easier, personally, to get your county to ratify the Constitution than the state. And when you do that, I really, truly believe that that's like starting a wildfire. When one county in your state has ratified the Constitution, people are going to ask why, and you're going to attract a lot of attention. I think this is dynamite. I just love this concept.
Yeah, and what I'd like to interject, though, is that it's not just about ratifying that Constitution. It's nullifying and starting anew after the 10th Amendment. So 11 through 27, because a by amendment is what they did. They took over by amendment. And, you know, so they are following their Constitution in a manner that is specific to their Constitution. It's all about them, so not
well,
about us.
You'll find with research that probably every amendment above the 10th was never properly ratified.
Correct.
There were some there were some states that changed the wording and then signed it without having it approved. There were other states that they all had different things going on where these amendments were never properly ratified.
Correct.
Two biggie ones, 16 and 17.
Sure, those are the biggies in 1913. But also, Robert, I don't know whether you noticed, but all the amendments from the 13 to the 27, they all have in there some sort of a provision that Congress, in other words, the reconstructed political bands, which were dissolved in 1776, can enforce that with appropriate legislation or by appropriate legislation. In one way or another, each one of them seemed to say that.
And here's a quick interjection here for those that like strength in numbers or misery loves company, depending on how you want to look at it. I often equate the positions that the National Liberty Alliance takes in our teachings of the Constitution with Chris Ann Hall and the 10th Amendment Center. If you read Chris Ann Hall's stuff or you listen to her, you look at the 10th Amendment Center stuff, you look at the NLA, we are in lockstep. We all say exactly the same thing. So if there's any question about our position, I toss that out for your consideration. I yield.
And you can add the Constitution Club to that, too, with Keith Broders.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and with John Rowland and stuff, yeah.
The point I'm making is we got it right, folks. We got it right. Let me say that again. We got it right.
And let me also, you know, going back to the conversation that John and I had earlier today, when John was talking about going to the county level and doing this at a county level, because when this came to mind and I started putting it together with kind of like, the framework of it. But John has added a couple of details here with the counties doing it at the county level rather than the state level. And as we were talking, it occurred to me the precinct level is where we can really be active, because the precinct level, it takes in, you know, just so many, you know, very close. This is the closest to us. And somebody could be there. And we also talked about paper ballots, having this done with paper ballots where one of us could be there in the precinct watching as the people put them in and doing the counting afterward and assuring that the counting is corrected or correctly counted. The count is correctly counted.
I would like to suggest that you have a whole lot better chance of success if you get your Committee of Safety in the county formed so that they all are educated on what you're asking.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be a shame for a county to shoot it down just from lack of education on it.
Yeah, well, that's why I put this, you know, kind of presentation that I sent to you through Skype together, like I did, that that can be, you know, in fact, I've been playing with it, and the way I have it, if you print it off with nine of those little slides on one page, it'll fold like in three. Okay, it'll fold in three, and you can pass it out like a cheap flyer.
Now,
information in there.
The stuff that we put out is twofold, and Robert kind of overstates the obvious here. It would be really nice to have a committee of safety running before you do this, but what if you don't have a committee of safety? And so this is just another tool that you can use to get people interested. So it works both ways. I mean, Robert's absolutely correct. It'd be nice to have a committee of safety up and running, sure. But if you don't have one, this is another way to spread the honey and attract the bees. And so it works both ways. It all depends on what your situation is and who you're talking to and how knowledgeable the people are and what attracts their attention. It's just another tool.
Well, one of the biggest problems we have on everything we're trying to do is a lack of knowledge by the people. And it's what we're doing is trying to educate the people so that they do know the truth. And if the people know the truth, then we can accomplish what we're doing.
And that's exactly why we addressed the call with Ronto tonight, specifically for that thought.
And this will empower the people, you know, once they get the idea that, yes, there is something I can do without, raising my hand and speaking at a meeting or something like that, you know, they're more likely to jump on this rather than rock the boat.
Yep. It's just another way to spread the honey to attract the bees.
And it's actually a win-win situation. It can make a peaceful transition.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, those of us that don't mind rocking a boat, we can rock the boat. The rest of the people can just raise their hand and vote.
That's right.
Robert and I tend to like rocking boats, so you know you don't have to necessarily follow our lead, but we kind of like it.
Yep.
That's right.
So, any more questions?
I got one more.
Okay, shoot.
What you read tonight. Could that be, is that the first question, is that the presentation that you read?
Yes, understand how this was put together. The call with Ronto was a notice that you are in violation of all of our laws, and everything that we read explained that. We followed that up with a second document, and remember, this is from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. This is from the grand jury representing all 50 state grand juries. And we followed that up with a mandamus, which is an order. One was a notice. Hey, guys, you're screwing up. We caught you. Straighten up and fly right. The mandamus followed it up, and that is an order to straighten up and fly right. And now, because they failed to do so, which is why I submitted this to the chief judge and the district attorney and the sheriff, is that you are now indictable. And we use the term presentment from a common law grand jury perspective, but you are now indictable because you are in violation of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury mandamus. So that's the package. That's why it was done the way it was done.
Okay.
And while they're laughing behind his back, people are getting ready to nullify 11 through 27 and get behind the first 10 amendments by ratifying the Constitution. I'm kidding you, John.
No, and the thing is, I'm laughing over here because there ain't no knight in white shining armor coming to rescue us. We have to rescue ourselves. And here is an awesome, dynamite, powerful way to do so at your, as Nikki mentioned, the precinct level, your neighbors and friends on your two-square block area around your house or however it is in your rural agricultural area, and at the county level. It's awesome
and,
stuff.
And I'm sorry, I yield and let the woman speak. Thank you.
Well, this is April from North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm getting into everything, and so I want to know everything. What I wanted to know is if that's a presentation. Could that be a presentation that I do on YouTube?
I think that would be an awesome presentation. That is a great meeting right there. Just read the quote Waranto and then go around and pick people's jaws up off the floor when you're done.
Okay.
I think it's an awesome presentation. There are so many reasons why we did what we did tonight, and you just nailed another one.
Yeah, I loved it. Everything that you read, I love. I agree with 100%.
Now you understand why I opened with all Trump has to do is hand his document to Sessions and start arresting people. Done. Boom. Smack.
Yep.
Over.
Yep.
There's nothing they have to do. We've got it all covered for them. And we got
and let
it right.
Our loved ones out of jail and get
yep.
them back
yep.
from the CPS.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we got it right. As Robert said, they did, you know, our guys did a lot of research. We know we got it right, and I mentioned others that are in lockstep with us that also
yep.
say exactly what we say. What does that tell you?
Yep. That's right. I keep trying to pull other groups into our group.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They all need to join us.
We're working on it. That is part of our as an educational assembly, that is how we started out. Started out educating people. Robert mentioned that a little earlier. That's what we're doing. We're educating them. And
that's
when we educate them, they might see fit to link up with us and support us and we them and work together collectively. That's the goal. That has to be. It's got to go that way.
That's right.
Well, everything that we do here in the NLA is geared toward educating people, because an educated people will make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too many people are ignorant, though, and I was actually one of the ignorant people that was just going about living my life till they arrested my son for crimes he didn't do, and that's what brought me to NLA. I started with Bill Thornton and worked my way up.
Well,
I just want to talk this out real quickly.
Corporations, the elite, they wanted the people to be dumbed down, and for a lot
yep.
of years they quit teaching what needed to be taught, so
yep.
the people would be dumbed down.
Yep.
It's not the people's fault.
No.
Other than the fact that they trusted their government too much and got lazy.
We weren't taught how to do it. When we went to school, we weren't taught those things. And the things we were taught, you go to court and you find out nothing is true. They have changed everything
the
to their benefit.
Corrupt. All the courts are corrupt and don't follow the Constitution. So,
nope.
You know, they have their own... You know, they have their own language, even.
Yeah.
My good friend Drake Bailey came up with a number about a year and a half ago through his inside intel. And so he came up with a number. The cabal, the dark side, the bad guys, the elite, whatever you want to call them, spends $4 billion a year to keep us ignorant. $4 billion. Dollars a year, and I always go by the rule of three, so it's probably closer to $12 billion.
Wow,
that's how much the cabal wants to keep us in the dark. $4 billion a year.
You know, people
yeah, but
are getting
we're,
smarter
we're,
now and don't want to be ignorant no more. Everybody wants to learn, so it's time for us to learn.
Yeah, and especially since we're the ones who are paying for it.
Yeah, it's our money.
They spent my money, damn it.
If we're paying them to do this, they owe it to us.
Talk about salt in a wound.
I believe God is leading us all to this. That's why I believe everything happens for a reason, and my son was arrested to open my eyes to injustice going on. And that's why I have volunteered my services to NLA.
You bring up an interesting point. I had mentioned, reminded Nikki today, that in the War of 1812, we were losing. We were getting our butts kicked. The British troops were in Washington, D.C. They set it on fire. The White House was burning. We were outmanned, outgunned, and we were going to lose. And a humongous thunderstorm rolled through the battlefield in Washington, D.C., put out the fires, and generated a tornado that went right smack dab up the middle of the British troops and blew them away, and they turned tail and run. Did somebody say divine providence?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
There you go. That is a historic fact.
Nope.
So we got the big guy on our side.
Nope.
Yep, and we have a destiny.
Well,
any other questions?
Do you have anything more? Or?
No, I'm good. Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Nikki. That was an awesome presentation. You did an excellent job.
Okay, I'm going to close her down, ma'am.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.